Parent Q Live is a monthly podcast designed to help parents do family better.
Welcome to Parent Q Live. I'm Kristen Ivey, the Director of Messaging for Orange, and I'm here today with a special guest, Jim Burns, Dr. Jim Burns. So lots of authority going to be in the room today with us. Jim is the president of Homeward, which is a nonprofit organization that helps churches help marriage and family. So we have a lot in common. And today we're talking about a topic that is not at all awkward, so this should be really fun. If you've been with us for very long, you'll notice that we're going to be missing somebody important, and Reggie's not with us today. His daughter had a baby, and he's on the West Coast getting to be granddad for a little while to baby Miles.
Well, I'm thrilled, Kristen, that we get to talk, and Reggie's not here, because we're going to talk about the S word, sex, and sexual integrity, and, you know, that's probably awkward for him, and yet he is where he should be. And, you know, as an older guy than even him, and he's an old guy, I am so impressed that he just dropped what he was doing and went to be with Hannah, and he's an incredible family man. He's one of the people in my life who I respect the most in the universe, and he's doing what he should be doing, but he's probably happy, because then now he doesn't have to talk about sex, just you and me.
Yeah, yeah. When you raise strong daughters, though, I don't know if you have much of a choice in some particular matters.
Oh, he's told me. He's had to talk about sex. And in fact, Hannah told me one time that her dad talked to her about sex, but he probably thought he did a great job and she wasn't so sure. I'm sure my daughters would have said the same thing because I have all girls.
That's great. Well, we are going to be talking today about helping kids grow up with sexual integrity, which is a great topic. We've been kind of having a lot of ongoing conversations, Jim, about this idea and helping parents have conversations. And so you've been leading seminars and writing resources for a long time on this topic. What's something that you've kind of discovered along the way?
Well, what I've discovered is no parent feels confident about talking about sex with their kids, and yet we're passionate, we're scared to death. And yet, frankly, most of us didn't receive good modeling for it from our home. So we kind of don't know what to do. And we want our kids to live with sexual integrity. In fact, it's one of the major issues that we have. Some of them even in front of faith, which is probably wrong, but it is. It's so
sure.
Key. And yet, again, most parents come, you know, wanting to drink from the well because they really don't know what to do. And they're looking for a formula. And then guys like me have to be able to say, sorry, no formula here. There's certain things we talk about, but there's not going to be a formula. Even with my three daughters, when we first started having conversations with them, kind of in the phase where there was more talking about puberty and things like that. I mean, one engaged, one said, this is totally inappropriate, Mom, you know, stop it right now. And the other one just said, my sisters have already told me all about it, so why do we need to talk?
You know, that's amazing. Yeah.
So they're really, you know, each kid is different. So you have to personally tailor the way you talk to your kids about sex and sexuality.
That's fantastic. I think that's great news. I already see that with my kids, and we'll talk a little bit about what it looks like in the preschool phases, but they're already responding differently. I mean, the main words that come to my mind when I think about having conversations about sex with your kids are fear. I mean, I think there's a lot of fear and anxiety that goes with that and just straight awkwardness.
Yeah. And here's the deal. It's not going to change. Like I said, I mean, you know, you can do that with your preschool and you have younger kids. As my kids got older, there was more fear and more awkwardness. And again, I'm teaching parents how to do it, but you just do it. There's certain things in life that do not come naturally. And ever so often, you have this amazing conversation because you had been having conversations and it was amazing. And you go, wow, that worked out. But at other times, you just have to kind of laugh, shake your head and go, well, at least we're bringing it out in the open. You know, and all studies show that the more positive, value-centered sex education kids receive from home, the less promiscuous they'll be. Now, again, good parents still have kids who make poor choices, but the odds are so much better when it's open in the home. And so, hey, so live with fear, live with awkwardness, and do your best.
That's great. I love that. Something I thought you just talked about there reminded me, as a small group leader, I kind of had to come to terms really early on, mostly because some of my girls were making decisions I wish they wouldn't have made. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm here, I'm showing up, I'm doing everything that I can for you. And yet, you know, some things happen. And I had to come to terms with the idea that we can't protect them. Ultimately, there's just things that happen in their world that are out of our control, and we can't stop them from making bad choices. I mean, no matter what you do, and as a mother, I feel that even, you know, more strongly if I think about my kids, that ultimately I can't protect them. They're going to get their feelings hurt. They're going to get, you know, somebody's going to say something to them that makes them upset. I can't control those things in their life. And at the same time, I also can't stop them from making poor choices.
Yeah, but you know, you can help them make wiser choices. A lot of times kids make poor choices because parents never really talk to them, as we're talking about sex and sexuality. So when a parent is willing to have some of the conversations, even though they be awkward, and again, it's not sitting down at a table necessarily having this big, let's talk about sex today, but it's, you know, watching a television program, listening to some music, a dialogue about one of their friends or whatever, and you're doing sex education, you know, as it goes, spontaneous, but you kind of have a little bit of a plan.
Right.
You can help them. So again, are they going to make poor choices? Possibly. But, you know, when was the last time we learned, you know, from poor choice? Well, a lot of us made poor choices, not just sexuality, but a lot of things, and we learn from them. So as parents, one of the things we want to be able to do is create the conversation and the dialogue so that when or if they do make poor choices, they're going to come to you. I talked to a woman last week who said, you know, my 11-year-old son saw pornography for the first time, which is, by the way, the average age that kids will see pornography today. And he came to me and said, "Mommy, I feel really yucky. This is what I saw." Well, she said she wanted to go like vomit, you know, in the bathroom. And yet he felt comfortable talking with the mom. I mean, the mom gets the red ribbon, blue ribbon, whatever best ribbon it is for having conversations earlier. So when he did see pornography, he came straight to her.
That's great.
It's part of prevention. It's part, make it a part of life. It is a part of our life. But yet too many times we're just silent on this subject. We're silent when they're young. We're silent when they're, you know, in elementary school. We're silent until the very end. We start complaining about it, you know, as they get to be older teens. But the truth is no, we start as young as possible and have dialogue, positive, healthy dialogue. God created sex. He sees it as good. We need to believe that too.
That's great. I love that. I love the healthy conversations all along the way. And that's something that you talk about a lot. You've had some resources to parents to help have some of those conversations. I believe some books that even kind of script the conversations to put some words in your mouth, kind of say things like these. Where can parents find those resources?
Well, they can find what we call it the Pure Foundations series. And it has, you know, a little book for kids 3 to 5, and then 1 6 to 9, and then 10 to 14, which will blow some of the parents' minds because that's where we talk about a lot of major issues, because that's the time of change.
Right.
You know? And then we actually even have a book called Accept Nothing Less, which is for older kids where we just talk about anything. I mean, my goodness, you know,
yes.
You don't want to be a four-year-old, a parent of a four-year-old and read that particular book because it's going to scare you with the topics. But so they can get that, or they can go to Homeword, WORD, homeandword.com, and look at them too. They're great resources. The reason we did book form was because we felt like, especially with the littler kids, they could read it together. So it's not like you're sitting necessarily face to face. You're sitting kind of cuddled up, you know,
right,
reading this stuff and being able to have, you know, dialogue. The best conversation happens not just when you're giving them content, but when, you know, they start asking questions or you can have dialogue about, you know, Uncle so-and-so or aunt,
sure,
whatever.
I love the format of the book too. Yeah. I mean, just in so much of our research with Faye's and with children and what it takes is just the power of reading a story together. And I know psychologists and counselors that'll kind of leverage that for a number of topics, like dealing with grief, dealing with trauma, dealing with loss, all these kinds of things that they'll say when you can read together about some of the realities of life. And so sexuality fits right into that.
It really does. And you brought up the word phase, and I hope the parents listening, you know, understand, you know, the phases that Orange does. It fits perfectly within sexuality. You and I have talked about this. I mean, it totally fits perfectly because what's appropriate for a 3 to 5 year old is very different than what's appropriate for a kid who's in high school or a kid who's in middle school. And so really what parents want to learn is, what are the ages of my kids? And, you know, there are parents who almost have kids in every phase, certain parents. But what we've got to be able to do is communicate healthy sexuality at their level. And that won't freak us out, because if you have younger kids, it's not like you have to go through, you know, a biology class in college to work through this with their kids. It's just basic things like, God made your body. How great is that? You know, but way too many parents received negative sex education or silence. And what we're saying is, no, make it positive. Make it something that becomes more normal and natural, and they'll live with that. These are kids who have a healthier view of sexuality. By the way, the same with faith issues. When you have faith conversations in the home, and it's not toxic, or it's not, you know, all negative or preachy or lectury, then kids feel much more comfortable. They stay in the church. So the same is with sex education, that if it becomes more natural in the home, it doesn't have to be the topic every day, but if it becomes more natural in the home, then those kids are going to feel comfortable, even older, being willing to talk to mom or dad and have good dialogue and then make better decisions. I mean, how good is that?
That's great. I love everything that you're saying. And then the practical side of me as a mom starts to kind of ask a lot of questions as I'm listening to you and thinking, okay, that's great. You keep talking about how the conversations you have with your 17-year-old won't be the same as with your 4-year-old. But practically speaking, what are the changes in those conversations? What do conversations with preschoolers look like? And how are they different from elementary school or middle school or high school? And so in each phase of life, let's take a few minutes and kind of walk through what that looks like. So in the preschool world, for example, since I'm living there, I'm going to start there because that's pretty important to me. Felt need. Well, I guess my son just left that phase. I still think he's in preschool. But in the preschool phase, what is it that you need to do as a parent if you're going to connect with your kids and begin this journey in a good way?
Well, you have to get them comfortable with their body. And so a lot of times people say, oh, we're talking about sex. Oh, no. Okay, I can get them comfortable with the body. But you get them comfortable with the body. So that means that you actually make them feel good about you're a boy and you're a girl and you're going to grow up to be like a daddy and you're going to grow up to be like a mommy. But I think also, you know, it's naming the body parts and getting them comfortable with the body parts and, you know, the function, not now in sex, but just the function of the body parts. And I always say, you know, give them the correct name. I mean, we have all these kids, you know, with really weird names because parents never, you know, taught them, well, this is, you know, your penis or this is your vagina. Get comfortable with that. And you know what? I've been talking about this for a long time. I still feel uncomfortable sometimes, you know, mentioning that, but I've noticed that my kids, because they were taught at a young age, they feel more comfortable having conversations with us because when they were younger, we helped them understand their, you know, that their body was a gift from God.
That all sounds really good. And I've read books about all the reasons why you should name your body parts. But I'll just say, as a parent, when you do that, just get ready for some interesting conversations coming back your direction. I've had a few comments from my daughter where I think, just don't say that in preschool, okay? But yeah, I think that's a great conversation. Also to define privacy. I know there's some other issues there to just begin having basic conversations about limits and that not everybody feels comfortable in the same way. And so I think those are all good. So what about the elementary school years? What is it that you can do once they're in kindergarten through about the fourth grade? What does that zone look like?
Well, they ask a lot of questions. I mean, I can remember when my girls were in that stage, we went, oh my gosh, another question, 50 million questions. So I think you answer their questions and you talk about biology, you help them understand the biological aspects, but you do it from the phase that they're in, which is not, you know, deep stuff, but you know, you talk about some of the basics of it and you do it not in a phase that's older, but in the phase that they're in. And sometimes they'll even want to, they'll get precocious, they'll want to go farther. And you say, you know what, honey, at the next stage, this is the age, you know, when we really talk about that, that's when you're going to be, when you're 10 or when you're 11 or when you're in middle school, you know, you kind of make it into the middle school thing.
Sure. I think that's great. I think it's also, we've talked a lot about this, about having relational skills and just saying, even in the elementary school years, how can you begin teaching your kids how to respect and each other and how to serve each other and things that will help them in the future with relationships, even as it doesn't relate to their body and sexuality.
Because they're dealing with friendships, and it's the fact that even teaching them how to approach the opposite sex, not as a sex object, because even at that young of an age, you know, I was at the mall not too long ago, and I was with my wife, and I saw this little boy in that phase staring at a Victoria's Secret model. I'm standing out in front of Victoria's Secret. Kathy's not even there. I go, why am I standing in front of this place? And I see this kid, you know, just staring at that. So they're already at an early age, you know, dealing with that. So that, I'm not talking just about the visual side, but I'm talking about, you know, how do they begin to treat friends and so much? You do that so well in the material that you're writing.
So then the phase that everybody's going to kind of cringe and lean in a little bit closer, the middle school years, what do you tell a parent when they've got a middle schooler, they're hitting, you know, sixth grade and their kid is becoming somebody new, somebody different? What do you say?
Yeah,
what
is this is an important stage because remember that they're going to see pornography at age 11. So parents wait too long and they're already going through puberty. Even if, say, a young girl hasn't had her period, or a boy hasn't, you know, had hair in strategic parts, they're already starting to go through that. So in middle school, and some are, they're way past it. But in middle school, that's the time you talk about the change in their body, but you also have to talk about the change in their emotions and in relationships. Because I think a lot of middle school kids make poor sexual choices, not just, you know, being with a boy or a girl, but sometimes it's pornography, it's internet type things or whatever, but it's because their emotional involvement exceeds their maturity level because nobody helped them to learn how to say no. Mm-hmm. So they didn't teach them boundaries. This is a time where I believe we introduce big time sexual integrity. and where we're talking to them about how do you honor your body? How do you renew your mind? How do you do things like turn your eyes? And for girls, that's where you're teaching them a little bit about modesty and things, even before they've fully developed. For guys, it's teaching them to to really, what do you do with your eyes when you're staring at that opposite sex? Because they're already starting to do that. They're involved with so many thoughts and new changes. And then also guard your heart. A lot of the people that I talk to, their parents or even the church, they felt like no one ever taught them to guard your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Wow. That's the kind of thing that I think we parents can do, among many other things.
That's great. And then how about high school? I mean, it may seem like, hey, at this point, it's too late. Maybe the train has passed, it's left the station. What do you say to a high school parent in that phase of life?
And the train hasn't left the station. And frankly, even if you've never had a conversation, it's still good to begin dialogue. And you use it in the phase, and I've just taken this on too, is you say that this is the phase of coaching. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do, you now can't control your kids. They're off. They're in their cars or whatever, but you're coaching them. And so you're coaching them to make right and wise decisions. So you're going to help them maybe develop boundaries. You're going to help them with accountability. For example, when our kids got in high school, we all went on a website called xxxchurch.com, xxxchurch.com. Mm-hmm. And we developed an accountability piece that if any of us ever went, Kathy and I included with our girls, if any of them ever went to an account to a porn site or to a site that even had unique stuff about sexuality, that we would all get emails from each other. Well, you know what? Our girls thought that was a good idea, and so they all joined in. So that was something you could do in high school. Earlier on, you could do it, but it didn't have the meaning that this had. But by the time you're in high school, you're coaching and you're talking about anything. And I think actually that your kids have to know that you're willing to have a conversation and a dialogue, even with issues that they may be feeling different about, but that you can accept them instead of just lecture preach. And I think that's a great stage, because it's actually entering into even the young adulthood stage too, where there's going to be some things that are going to, temptations are going to come their way, and how cool it would be if they would talk to their parents. Well, if their parents never talked to them about it, or their parents are very judgmental about things, well, that's the last person they're going to go to.
Right, that's great. As also a phase where I think about the importance of the other adult, because there's things you can talk to your parent about, and in a great relationship, that's going to work out. And then there's other things that you might not talk to your parent about. As a girl, if I was in high school dating a guy and having some dating issues, going to my dad, may seem like I'm not going to get very, clear-headed, level-headed advice all the time, right? So I think about having that extra influence in the life of your high
schooler. I don't think having a shotgun pointed at the boy would have been a good thing if your dad would have done that. But you're right. This is where small group leaders, where church leaders, my youth pastor was one of the most influential people in my life, because I felt safe with him, and actually his wife too, where I didn't feel safe with my parents. I wasn't raised in the church. I'd become a Christian when I was 16. And so the key aspect for me was finding a youth worker who was actually even just available. I mean, they weren't authorities on this subject, but they'd listen to me.
That's
listening
great.
Is the language of love.
That's great. All right. I know we're almost out of time, but I just want to throw one more at you and just say, on this issue for parents who are trying to navigate helping their kids grow up with sexual integrity, if you could just say one thing to remember or kind of wrap your mind around to carry with you as you have these conversations, what would you say? What's one piece of advice or thing that you've learned?
It's a word I used already, dialogue. Don't lecture or preach or make it a one-topic conversation, but dialogue. Kids learn best when they talk, not when you talk. And it's really hard for a parent, because you're probably right and you probably have a good worldview as a parent. But the truth is that your kids have to learn that. And so you got to take a deep breath and you have to listen to them, and you have to acknowledge that even at certain ages and stages, they may have a different view than you. But if you're willing to have dialogue, then you know what? They're going to turn out okay. That's the Bible even says that. And part of that dialogue is training them and teaching them. And I think the Bible's clear. It says, train up a child in the way that they would go, and in the end, they'll return. It doesn't say they're going to be a cookie cutter of you, but it's that process. It's never going to happen if you are either silent, then they're going to get the information from someplace else. Or if you're, luxury and not willing to hear them talk, then, it's too rigid. They're going to rebel from that.
That's great. Jim, thank you so much for joining us. It was good to have you and have this conversation.